So the big question is this:
how do married entrepreneurs like us who have decades of business building experience, how do we break through common communication, productivity, and profitability barriers, all while living powerfully in sync?
That's the big question, and this podcast is the answer. You see, even if just one of you is called to entrepreneurship, the family is called to entrepreneurship. No, the goal is not the almighty dollar. We're aiming for the almighty impact. What's up? This is OL and Sway Buckley. Welcome to the Marriedpreneur Life Podcast.
Marriage Marketplace Ministry. Let's go.
Hey guys, what's up? This is OL.
And this is Sway.
Yep, you're listening to the Marriedpreneur Life Podcast. And this is episode numero...
What number are we?
97.
There we go.
You know how to say it in Spanish, Peter?
Probably, but it's really early in the morning.
So okay.
I'm trying to record it and
I'm not going to put you through that. This episode is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about how we got through a rough transition. Listen, all marriedpreneurs at some point, at multiple points, at different points in life, will definitely be going through a transition of some kind. And it absolutely matters how you get through it. And so this is going to be a little bit about how we got through ours. And it's not to say that we are not going to go through another transition. I think we all know better than that. There will always be another one. But you learn from the ones that you go through, and they just help you in the future.
Yeah, so if you listen to our last episode, episode 96, we did a rundown of the three main categories of marriedpreneurs. We talked about indiepreneurs, spousalpreneurs, and couplepreneurs. If you did not listen or you have no idea what we're talking about, go back and listen to that so you can get a better context of what we're talking about now. Because we talked about that just so to give everyone an idea, an identity, really, to say, okay, this is where we are on this journey. This is which one we fit in now, or this is where we're going. This is where we're headed, you know. But what we didn't talk about was our journey from transitioning between the spousalpreneurs and the couplepreneurs. And just to give a quick definition of that, it's really just about in a marriage when one of you is in full-time entrepreneurship and the other is doing a 9-to-5, and then the other spouse comes on literally like to work with you. Usually it's full-time, but it still could be part-time. But either way, comes on to work with you, to work in the business together. Mm-hmm. So then you go from a spousalpreneur to couplepreneurs. Mm-hmm. That can be a rough transition. And so we want to talk about that. We didn't share any of that part in our last episode. It was definitely a rough season for us, to be really transparent. But it was really in that rough season, I think, was one of the best seasons for us, because we've learned so much. Mm-hmm. We learned, and not only did we learn things, we actually started creating systems for us just to get through it, not realizing that these same systems years later will be used for in other marriedpreneurs' lives as well, to help them transition, to help them grow and implement systems and scale together and all that great stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. Like, looking back on it, it seems pretty cool. At the time, it didn't seem pretty cool. But, you know, you go through to get through, and then you thinking that's all you doing, right? But mm-hmm. it's for so much more. So anyway, with that being said, we want to go over some nitty-gritty stuff, really, to share with you all what it was like. And then, like, what we did to actually, like, what things we started implementing to get through the roughest of the rough. So I think the first thing we should go over is, like, how we made the decision together, not just one of us, but together, for you not to return to a 9-to-5 after being fired from one.
Yeah, so I think that's a great place to start, mm-hmm. because it's probably a more common story than what even we may realize. And so one of the things that's interesting was for us that, you know, because, you know, business in general goes through different cycles. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's feast and sometimes it's famine. And so you're having to really sort of move with the ebb and flow of whatever your industry or market is. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to those certain dips, you know, how do you endure those? How do you weather those? Well, with every challenge of any business, there's always going to be, especially in our case, there was always the temptation mm-hmm. for me to return to the 9-to-5. So I think mm-hmm. I want to start off and say there will be moments of temptation
and opportunities.
Ooh, boy, we had opportunities where you feel like, you know, well, maybe this is what I should do. Maybe this would be the best thing given, you know, where things are with the business, or mm-hmm. or what have you. And sometimes when you get into a place of entrepreneurship, you can start thinking, you know, thoughts of retreat, thoughts of reconsidering. And I definitely had those thoughts. And I realized that once I had gotten fired from the 9-to-5, one of the things that you said very early on was you really believe that this is where, you know, God was to have me right now, which is to really step out into entrepreneurship. And so as we began, you know, not just having our business separate, but even having our business together, there was always that thought, I know in my mind, you know, because of my desire to try to bring, you know, what I thought was stability, what I thought was normalcy, what I thought was regularity, that temptation and those opportunities to go back, even when my back, where I felt like my back was against the wall, I think the way that we talk through it and me just not being hasty saying, and let me just say, there were moments where I did get online and I did submit applications or upload a resume. You know, it wasn't many times, but there were a few times where I did do that. I never did it like, this is what I'm going to do regardless of how you feel. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to negate the sacrifice we've made, the investments that we've made up to that point, all of the energy and resources and time that we invested to really help ourselves grow as Marypreneurs. I didn't want to just throw that out the window or make us feel or even make you feel like it all was just for naught. So I couldn't make the decision by myself because you and I were not in business per se by ourselves, but we were in this together. Mm-hmm. So when you have a together situation, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to agree to do something together, then if you're talking about exiting that, then you need to talk about that together. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we talked about, you know, what I was feeling, what I was thinking at different points, even though they were directly my feelings, indirectly your feelings, we were still in this thing together as Marypreneurs. And so you would always come back with, you know, another perspective to say, hey, look at it this way, look at it that way. And that was very helpful. Not that you were trying to talk me out of it, but that you were trying to talk me, I think, through it so that we could really continue, you know, fighting what I believe was a good fight.
Mm-hmm. And it still is a good fight.
It's a great fight.
You know why it's a good fight? Because we win.
Absolutely.
Hey, that's what's up. Okay, so yeah, when it comes to the 9-to-5 deal, I think something that you didn't say, or something that I didn't say earlier, is once we got married, for those who don't know, when we got married, I was already, like, I've been an entrepreneur since 16. Like, I started early this journey. So that's pretty much my life and all I've known in different, you know, industries and categories. But so for me, I was like, let's do this. Like, I was ready to do that. I mean, I don't know, a good year or two before you even end up leaving that industry. And we talked about it a lot. And so the more we talked about it, and you say, yeah, I feel it. I know I'm supposed to be leaving. I know I can't be. This is not where I'm supposed to be forever. I know it's a cap. It's capping me. And then, you know, here comes a promotion, right? Here comes another opportunity. Or here comes an award. Or here comes, like, a trip to Spain. Here comes, like, all these different things that will be thrown at us as a result of your amazing results and outcome for these different companies. And so I'm like, okay. So every time we talk about it, it's like, here comes this amazing stuff that happens. And so it made us, I guess, feel like we were second guessing the timing of it. Okay, after this, right? And so that never happened. And then, of course, the firing comes. I'm like, well, now's the time to do it because we've been talking about it. Mm-hmm. And we knew the time was nigh. But we just didn't know it was that nigh. So we're like, okay, let's go. And so definitely, people always ask us, like, you know, how are you all doing it? Like, how are you actually doing together? And I would say the main thing is agreement. Like, you have to be in agreement. It has to be a spirit of agreement, unity. And that doesn't mean you have to agree on everything. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you have to think and be like, you can be unified but not uniformed. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to, you're not cookie cut people. So you don't have to be like the same in every area. But there are some core areas that you do want to be the same in. So, or at least, like, you know, have that respect for each other. And like you said before, like, you weren't going to do anything without at least, like, letting me know this is where you're, like, talking about it, just communicating. So that was a big thing for us. Just making sure we are in agreement. because the main thing is we knew that God's hand was going to be blessing agreement, not disagreement,
right?
Not division. His hand blesses unity. So we, if nothing else, were always mindful, especially during that sensitive season, to say, even if we don't like certain things or even agree on everything, the spirit in which we do things is going to be in a spirit of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even though we're not the same on all pages, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I think it's good for us to talk about next, like the one strategy we use to create multiple revenue streams during that season. And I need to say this, it wasn't so much because we were so smart or so brilliant or so bright and just experienced and experts in it, but it wasn't because of a sheer desire to create revenue streams alone, multiple revenue streams alone. It was out of sheer necessity,
mm-hmm.
to be quite frank. Like, we had to eat, y'all. We had mortgage, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, we had responsibility. We were adulting then. And so we're still adulting, but it was just a different, like, it was like a newness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the one strategy we use with prayer, because that getting that insight and revelation, with that prayer was to really tap into our gifts. And oftentimes those gifts that we didn't even realize were there. And when I talk about things, it's easy to see gifts that are tangible, like when other people are doing things, but sometimes it's more challenging to see our, number one, our own gifts, but also our own gifts that are like recluse or like hidden, mm-hmm. and you can't touch or feel it. Like, you don't make something, you know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. you have a gift of strategy. You know, you really can't touch that, but you can see the results of it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I think it's important that we talk about that, the strategies that we used. I mean, I know for me with my business, I started just doing and taking on more clients that normally I maybe would not have done at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you started writing a book,
mm-hmm.
remember? And using your experience.
Yep, I put it into a book.
Mm-hmm. And that opened doors.
That did various speaking opportunities and training. Ended up creating, you know, a coaching program around it. It was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you also used literally your grind, your hustle, to help other people find people that they needed. Like, mm-hmm. You were a connector.
Mm-hmm.
And that, somebody may say, well, what is a connector? Like, when somebody needs somebody, they need a resource, and you're the go-to person to see if you can get it done, because nobody, like, they couldn't get it done, and no one on their team could get it done. And now they're like, okay, well, let's see. Can you get this done?
Mm-hmm.
And just out of sheer hustle,
mm-hmm.
on top of God's favor,
right?
Right. Let's not forget. But just really going forward, that opened a whole nother door for a massive opportunity.
It did.
For a massive payday.
It did.
I mean,
for massive referrals.
Right on time. And then I would say, so that was that. So really tapping into the gifts, tapping into your the opportunities that you know, opportunities are all about having, there are opportunities all around us right mm-hmm. now, but it's all about having the sight, like having the vision, not just sight, but having the vision to see the opportunities around us. And opportunities are really most, I would say, are easiest to take advantage of when you realize that there's a problem mm-hmm. that you can solve.
Mm-hmm.
And people pay for their problems to be solved.
Absolutely.
And just because you're taking advantage of an opportunity does not mean that you're saying that this is what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. But it could be something like, and you really enjoy doing this, or I really can do this right here. And it's just like, at that point, it was like, we just need to create them. Like, find them, create them, fill them, you know? Find them, create them.
And they become bridges.
Yeah.
Between seasons.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely they do. So that's definitely, I would say, the one strategy we use. And then also we use the strategy of like us working together. We were like, okay, how does this look? I started connecting with some of my contacts to see, because with my staffing company, my focus or my industry are school districts. Those are our clients. And I realized, you know what? Although I'm in one area, one niche. Let me see if some of these clients would be interested in having a husband and wife team come in to talk about, I don't know, something. Something. Entrepreneurship, relationships, like what y'all need, right? Mm-hmm. And they did. And that was another opportunity too. Like just all these.
Yeah. And one was really stacked up on the other.
Yeah.
And it just created a really unique situation for us to really start, you know, stretching our gifts, but also, you know, bringing in revenue from various places, various sources, or resources rather. And so that's what we did.
So also, it's like, I think it's important for us to talk about how we handled our struggle, because we did have some struggles, especially in this vulnerable season. How we handled our struggles with the roles, like who was going to be doing what, figuring all that part out, our responsibilities, and even feeling a loss of identity during this sensitive transition. And we want to talk about a big communication hack that got us through it.
So, good.
Oh, you want to go? Okay. So I'm just going to start with the communication hack. Communication hack is actually to speak, like to share where you are.
To be on the same, to ultimately get you to in a place of being on the same page.
Yeah, that's going to ultimately get you there. But the actual doing of it is to be open with one another and not to assume or become prideful and start to have like these conversations in your head about your spouse. So by the time you do speak with your spouse, you're responding to the conversations in your head that you're having with your spouse versus the real conversation that you should be having with your spouse sitting right in front of you. Like that's a real communication hack right there. Like to really be open, honest, and stay away from pride. And it's okay to feel the way that you feel. I think it's important to share the feelings, but then also not to become defensive.
Yeah, and I think transparency, really for that to really create a culture within your marriage where transparency is respected, transparency is even celebrated, because when you have that, then both of you can feel a certain liberty to say, hey, this is where I really am. This is what I'm really feeling. And when you can do that, that just gets you, that just accelerates you to be able to really talk through things, ultimately to get the kind of resolve that you need to get. And so I think for us, there was a point where it was like, you know, we just have to say how we are actually feeling. Put pride aside. And I know for me, I had to really step around whatever pride I had, especially as it pertains to me being a husband, and really just go through that and say, hey, here's where I am and here's what I'm feeling. I'm even thinking at one point where I told you, I was like, wow, I really feel like I'm not where I need to be. And I feel, I'm trying to remember the word I use, but I just remember thinking, wow, I've really been in a funk, low for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And I had to really come to grips like, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Then that started me down the road of investigating. How did I get here? Why am I feeling this way? Because that directly impacted what I was as a husband and what I was even as a business partner.
That was pretty rough. Cause I was like, I don't know what to do, Lord. Where is my husband? Like that was a rough time. But the great thing is that really helped is just you were still communicating. You know, you didn't go into this place of like, I can't talk, or just leave me alone. Let me figure it out on my own type of thing. And I still gave you space, but I was still like, listen, we're in this partnership. Like, this is a partnership and partners talk. And we're going to do it. Like, let's do this and get through this part so we can continue to build on it. But can you talk a little bit about, like, your identity and how you felt after, you know, well, I guess once you started your entrepreneurial journey, and you actually started that even while you were at your 9-to-5, but just really once you got full-time into it, because that was a rough spot too. And I think that's important for people to know. I didn't understand it fully, but, like, even talk about what you had to do, like some things that you had to do for you to get your head in the game for your company or for us working together?
I mean, really, it was just because my identity was so wrapped up in what I did for 9 to 5. Once I lost 9 to 5, I lost the sense of my identity. Mm-hmm. When I lost the sense of my identity, it was just a snowball effect to where eventually I just got lost in whatever I was doing, didn't really know who I was. All that translates into how I communicate in business. That translates to how I would sell. That translates into how, you know, I would create content, or what I would think, or if I would sell, or if I would create content. Mm-hmm. It just impacted so many different things as a entrepreneur that, you know, that loss of identity just spilled over into so many other buckets of my life. Mm-hmm. So the reality is that I wasn't good in any area, or I wasn't good for anything, should I say, in any area, because I just wasn't. I had lost my edge, lost my confidence. Mm. When men lose edge and confidence, everything else goes out the window for the most part. Mm. And so, it just left me weak in so many areas. And so what I really had to do was I had to really acknowledge where I was. I had to disconnect myself from my job, the 9 to 5 that I'd had for so long. I had to disconnect to some degree. When I say disconnect, I'm not saying disconnect like not look back on how I was able to get those awards and obtain those different promotions. But I had to really realize that I'm not what I do. I am who I am and who God has made me to be, but I'm not what I do. So who I am is not impacted by what I do. But what I do is impacted by who I am. And so I had to really get back to who am I. Yeah. And once I really tapped into that, and that took time, that took prayer, that took dialogue, that took reflection and contemplation and meditation, and really just really, you know, saying, okay, Lord, why do you actually have me here? And I had to really get back in touch with what are my skills and what are my gifts, what are my talents? And then I had to look at how could I port those skill sets over. Mm-hmm. So in other words, how could I take that same edge that I had in a industry or in an arena where I was successful and then port that over? So I had to really look at the nuts and bolts of it.
That's good. Thank you for sharing that perspective. Mm-hmm. And I would say from a wife's perspective, I also saw some practical things that you started doing. Like, I saw it on the outside, but it was really inside job. It was like you had to feel a certain way in order to get back in that groove. So remember, you would just, for a while, you started just getting dressed like you were going to the bank, like you were going out to work, right? And I remember, you know, we had hardwood floors and I would just hear your shoes. I remember saying, like, where are you going? It's whatever time in the morning. Like, is it as if you were going somewhere and you were just walking over to the office? And I was like, to the home office, like indoors, you know? And I was like, okay, well, if that's what you need to do, you know? But then I started to see
slowly. I had to recreate the same environment.
Yeah, there you go. That's when you started like really getting into your groove again and transporting, which I was like, Lord, how do I help him transport like all that genius that he was working and investing in someone else's dream? How do I help him invest that into our dream, like our vision, the vision that you've given us for our marriage and our business and our legacy? Like how, like I want, like use that from over there, like that what you were building over there, use that to build over here, you know? And that started, that began happening, and that really was a game changer for us. It was just a rough transition to get to that part, that place. And that's why I think it's just so important that we share this behind the scenes stuff, because
absolutely,
I think oftentimes, you know, couples don't really talk about it and they don't really know what to talk about. But that's how, and there's so much more. We can like have 20,000 episodes just like on all the different things that we did. And from there, we started putting systems together. And these are the systems that we have now in our Marriedpreneur Method, from like, you know, our Marriedpreneur Vision to our communication hacks, to the wealth roles. I mean, to all of everything in the Marriedpreneur Method is tied into what happened in this rough season. So that's just goes to show you guys, like wherever you are right now, like use that, grow with that, and know that that's just like a season. That's just a seed. This season is a seed. Mm-hmm. And you know, you plant it, you grow with it, you water it, you nurture and harvest it, and you begin to see the fruit of it. So hopefully this was helpful for you all. If so, awesome. Do let us know. Connect with us over on IG, Marriedpreneur Life. Hit us up in the IG stories. Let us know your takeaways, where you all are, how we can continue to support you, all that good stuff.
Yep, and if this has been beneficial, and you know, you can subscribe, rate, and review. And we look forward to seeing you guys on the next ep.
All right, y'all have a good one. Oh, one more thing.
Before we go.
If you have not yet and you're looking for a strategy on putting all these pieces together from the Mapreneur Method to the map, all that great stuff, if this is your first time listening, then you may not have heard about it, but we do have a free download that you can go ahead and take away with you. It's been all the years, the years and labor of work, labor of love and work that we put into it. Just a simple blueprint for you all. So feel free to snag yours over at Mapreneur Map.com and /free gift. But you know what? We're going to put the link in the notes there, so you can just go ahead and snag that. Mapreneurmap.com/free gift. All right. Y'all have a good one for real now.
Peace.
Want more winning tips for your Mapreneur life? If so, then go get your copy of our free Mapreneur Life Quick Start Guide. You can grab your free guide at M as in married, L as in life, quickstart.com.
Inside this guide, you'll find our top 15 systems and processes that we've used to grow our multiple businesses, as well as help countless Mapreneurs kickstart and scale their vision to lead purposeful and profitable lives. We are Mapreneurs living powerfully in sync and building amazing businesses that shape the future.